Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gopa Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto chapter 22 verse 48. Maitre Uvacha
Maitre Uvacha
Atma
Atma
Yoga
Yoga
Pataya
Adi
Adi
Rajena
Rajena
Ujita
Ujita
Silam
Tadiyam
Tadiyam
Samsanta
Samsanta
Ke
Bhavan
Abhavan
Mishatam
Mishatam
Vrnam
Vrnam
Maitreya Uvacha
Maitreya Uvacha
Tathatma
Yoga
Pataya
Tathatma Yoga Pataya
Adi Rajena Pujita
Adi Rajena Pujita
Silam Tadiyam Samsanta
Silam Tadiyam Samsanta
Adi Rajena Pujita
Adi Rajena Pujita Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued, being thus worshipped by Maharaj, because the four Kumaras who were masters of devotional service, he came very pleased. Indeed, they appeared in the sky and praised the character of the king, and everyone observed them. Purport is said that demigods never touch the surface of the earth. They walk and travel in space only. And like the great sage Narada, the Kumaras do not require any machine to travel in space. There are also residents of Siddhaloka who can travel in space without machines. Since they can go from one planet to another, they're called Siddhas. That is to say, they have acquired all mystic and yoga powers. As great saintly persons who have attained complete perfection of mystic yoga are not visible in this age on earth, because humanity is not worthy of their presence. The Kumaras, however, praise the characteristics of Maharaj Prithuvan's great devotional attitude and humility. The Kumaras were greatly satisfied by King Prithu's method of worship. It was by the grace of Maharaj Prithu that the common citizens in his domain could see the Kumaras flying in outer space. Among great personalities, Maharaj Prithu was the chief by virtue of his fixed position in relation to spiritual enlightenment. He remained satisfied as one who was achieving all success in spiritual understanding. Purport, remaining fixed in devotional service gives one the utmost in self-satisfaction. Actually, self-satisfaction can be achieved only by pure devotees who have no desire other than to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to desire, he is fully satisfied with himself. Similarly, a devotee with no desire other than to serve the Supreme Personality of God is as self-satisfied as the Supreme Lord. Who is hankering after peace of mind and self-satisfaction, but these can only be achieved by becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. King Prithu's statements in previous verses regarding his vast knowledge and perfect devotional service are justified here, for he is considered best among all Mahatmas. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna speaks to Mahatmas in this way. Mahatmanas tum mam parta andai prakritamasvata vajantananya manaso gatha bhuta ramabhiyam. O son of Krita, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of God and original and inexhaustible. Mahatmas are not under the clutches of illusory energy, but are under the protection of the supreme energy, the spiritual energy. Because of this, the real Mahatma is always engaged in devotional service to the Lord. Prithu Maharaj exhibited all the symptoms of the Mahatma, therefore he's mentioned in the verse as Duryo Mahatam, that's for the Mahatmas. Being self-satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible, according to the time and his situation, strength, and financial position. His only aim in all his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted.
Prabhupada Maharashtra was a responsible monarch and he had to execute the duties of Kshatriya king and a devotee at the same time. Being perfect in the Lord's devotional service, he could execute his prescribed duties with complete perfection as befitted the time and circumstance and his financial strength and personal ability. In this regard, the word karmani in this verse is significant. Prabhupada Maharaj's activities were not ordinary, for they were in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami has advised that things which are favorable to devotional service should not be rejected, nor should activity favorable for devotional service be considered ordinary work or fruit of activity. For example, an ordinary worker conducts business in order to earn money for his sense gratification. A devotee may perform the same work in actually the same way, but his aim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Consequently, his activities are not ordinary. Prithu Maharaj's activities were therefore not ordinary, but were all spiritual and transcendental, for his aim was to satisfy the Lord. Just as Arjuna, who was a warrior, had to fight to satisfy Krishna, Prithu Maharaj performed his royal duties as a king for the satisfaction of Krishna. Indeed, whatever he did as emperor of the whole world was perfectly befitting a pure devotee. It is therefore said by a Vaishnava, "Ho Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Mujaya." No one can understand the activities of a pure devotee. Pure devotee's activities may appear like ordinary activities, but behind them there is profound significance of satisfaction of the Lord. In order to understand the activities of a Vaishnava, one has to become very expert. Maharaj Prithu did not allow himself to function outside the institution of four barns and four ashramas, though as a Vaishnava he was a paramahamsa, transcendent to all material activities. He remained at his position as a kshatriya to rule the world and at the same time remained transcendental to such activities by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Conceiving himself as a pure devotee, he externally manifests himself as a very powerful and beautiful king. In other words, none of his activities were carried out for his own sense gratification. Everything he did was meant for the satisfaction and senses of the Lord. This is clearly explained in the next verse. The great sage Maitreya continued, being thus worshipped by Maharaj, for the four Kumaras who are masters of devotional service became very pleased. Indeed, they appeared in the sky and praised the character of the king and everyone observed them. Among great personalities, Maharaj Prithu was chief by virtue of his fixed position in relation to spiritual enlightenment. He remained satisfied as one who has achieved all success in spiritual understanding. Being self-satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible according to the time and the situation, strength and financial position. His only aim in all his activities was to satisfy the absolute truth. In this way, he duly acted. So here it says, he did activities in Brahma Satkritam for the absolute truth, Brahma Sat. This is a very general designation. And of course, in the previous verses also it talks about adhyatma, shiksha, etc., being fixed in the atma. And the Kumaras are also described here as being atma yoga pataya, masters of yoga and atma. So the emphasis here is upon the atma, since the Kumaras were teaching about atma. This is natural since they are Shaktivesh avatars of Jnana, so they're teaching about that. But in the Bhagavatam we will understand that Jnana is not separate from bhakti, because it depends on bhakti. And you cannot really get liberation unless one also performs bhakti, even though one's desire is to realize atma. So the two cannot really be separated. Yet, because of emphasis, we talk about one or the other, so we talk about Jnana, because there's a predominance of emphasis upon realization of Atma rather than realization of the Supreme Lord. So by predominance of subject matter, we label one subject, even though it is not only Jnana and Bodhatma, there's also Supreme Lord there, but it is less, it's a minor portion. In any case, the Kumaras are not Mayavadis because they do not reject the Supreme Lord. They have realization of the Lord. Even though they preach Jnana, they also realize the Supreme Lord. But because they have a certain duty to perform to preach Jnana, this is what they do. Just as we have some sages, they will preach karma. We see many of the Prajapatis of Brahma, such as Daksha and Kratu and Atri, etc. They were empowered to teach karma. And similarly, we'll see some are preaching yoga, like Kapila. And then we'll see that some like Narada Muni preach bhakti. And of course, sometimes they teach everything. But the emphasis is usually upon one or the other. So the Kumaras generally emphasize Jnana, but as we see from what they spoke, it cannot be really separated from the Supreme Lord. So behind the Jnana, there's also worship of the Supreme Lord. And so when we talk about Jnana here, we should not think it is exclusively Jnana. There is also some worship of the Supreme Lord. So here in these verses, we see that the Atma is always mentioned. But of course, Atma itself can also mean Supreme Lord. And so it can refer to, not Atma Yoga, it can of course refer to realization of Brahman. It can also refer to realization of the Supreme Lord ultimately. Since Atma, the Supreme Atma is the Supreme Lord. So Prithu Maharaj, of course, was a king, and he was setting an example for the people, and therefore he appreciates all the processes. He appreciates Jnana, and he appreciates bhakti, and yoga, and karma. Now, as a king, he practices karma yoga, and within that, then he will also show his appreciation for the other principles. As a king, of course, he is not considered to be qualified so much for Jnana, that is, for Brahmins, yoga and Jnana, for Brahmins. So he generally practices karma yoga, but he has to give respect to all these different systems. At the same time, he is qualified for bhakti. So there's no limitation on how much bhakti he can do along with his show of karma yoga. Because he's also a Shaktivesh avatar, of course, he has full realization of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he's also a great devotee. But he will also show his respect for those preaching Jnana and all the other processes. So out of duty, he has to practice the system of Varnashram. But even this system of Varnashram is also dependent on bhakti. Without bhakti, it's called Asurak Varnashram, and it becomes useless. And it gets no good result. So even in the Varnashram system, there has to be bhakti. That's so no one could criticize Prithu Maharaj for also practicing bhakti, because ultimately the results will not come unless one also practices bhakti. So here, this verse, last verse, describes how, according to his strength, according to the time, according to the place, according to the wealth he had, and other possible situations, then he did his activities, that is the activities of the king, according to Varnashram, but it was also done Brahma Satpratam. It was done for the Brahman or for the Supreme. So in other words, this means he had no attachment for himself. Of course, higher than that, we can say offer everything to Krishna directly. It's a more direct process of bhakti. Here, it's a Brahma Sat Kratam, to do everything for the Brahman. So this indicates detachment from everything. So he didn't do those activities for his own pleasure, rather he did them with detachment. So this becomes Nishkama Karma Yoga. He did the duties and everything, but without any material desires, which was natural because he was, as a Shakti Vesh avatar, so he had no contamination of the material world. So in this way, he carried out his activities of the king, acting according to the rules of Varnashram, and at the same time, acted with detachment, Nishkama Karma Yoga. So that was very proper as a king. He can do Nishkama Karma Yoga. But we should not think that he cannot do bhakti. So therefore, Prabhupada says that he conceals his bhakti. He manifests himself as a king and does his activities. But at the same time, he's also a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So those activities may not be seen directly by most people, but nevertheless, he is doing those activities for the Supreme Lord also. So this is somewhat of an external show that he is doing here. At the same time, he's actually a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Yeah, the Kumaras also have a Sampradaya, which is a Nimbarka Sampradaya. So in that, Nimbarka Sampradaya. So they also worship Krishna. Yeah, they wander about the universe. They can go anywhere they want. Doesn't say they went to Siddhaloka. The residents of Siddhaloka would travel in space without machines. Doesn't say they went there or they were Siddhas. They're much better than that because they're transcendental in the spiritual world. Like Narada Muni. You can go anywhere, but you can also go to the spiritual world. People on Siddhaloka cannot do that.
Narada Muni, of course, Sambhu is asking me that, why does it come in Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga is so degraded, does it travel or
not? If one is qualified, he'll come. But we see, where does he appear? He usually appears to give teachings to a very qualified person. So he comes to Vyasadeva or Vasudeva or someone like that. So if there's no qualified people, he doesn't have to come.
What's
that?
He did bhakti, so he was only implementing karma yoga. Siddhi Maharaj.
He did bhakti and?
Said that it was doing his karma yoga.
Yep, the king, he has to do karma yoga. Acting as a king is part of karma yoga. Doing his duty as a kshatriya. Yeah, they smell the tulsi. No, they're always devotees because they are transcendental. They're from the spiritual world, so they recognize the Supreme Lord.
Anyway, they were quite new before.
No, well, they're actually devotees of the Lord Shantarasa.
No, but many of them are devotees of the Lord. Then they become the devotees.
Yeah, in one sense, but they're actually eternal, so actually it's only a pastime to do that. Previous day of Brahma, they will also do the same thing. So, they're eternally in that position of being Shakti Vesh avatar.
So Prithu Maharaj was also, you said you were doing karma yoga.
Yeah, he's also Shakti Vesh avatar.
Why karma yoga?
Because he's a king. He acts according to Varnashram. Carries out sacrifices, does all these things. And all karma yoga.
But anyway, he also took the bhakti yoga,
didn't he? Yeah, he was doing bhakti. A great devotee of the Lord.
The karma yoga,
no, he cannot do that because he's a king. He still has to act as a king, unless he takes vanaprastha.
like Vaishnavas, we also do karma yoga in Krishna consciousness. Activities done for the Lord's purpose. The dovetailing of the activities for the Lord's.
Yeah, well, that's not really called karma yoga at that point. It's just offering things to the Lord. That's all.
Sometimes we think karma yoga is completely existing. It is completely maya.
Well, it is a lesser process. It is the bottom process. It doesn't directly give liberation even. It only leads to jnana and detachment, and then you can get liberation. So it's a lower process.
But you give the fruit of the activities. Karma yoga means to give the fruit of the activities to Krishna, is it?
Yeah, on a higher stage. Lower stage, no. They just do the activities and they enjoy the results. Sakama karma yoga, then it's nishkama karma yoga, then offering the results to the Supreme Lord.
The Pope mentions that Vaishnava and Priyam are very difficult to understand Vaishnava's external appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have been asked to also see senior devotees in junior. It is too difficult to understand the external
Well, to some degree, one has to make some judgment. That is the duty of the Madhyamadikara. If he doesn't do so, then he cannot advance because he has to act differently in relation to different types of Vaishnavas. So it may be a little difficult, especially with Uttamadikaris, but nevertheless, he can distinguish the Kanishta and the non-devotee, etc. He has to make these distinctions.
ग्रंथराज्य शिष्य में सारे दंखी जय जो नंदन महाराज की जय जुमें जो जो पिक्चर आता है उसको प्रकार की जय सागो मुझे
Hey, what's going on?